KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8:01, we have clear to partly cloudy skies, 32 degrees in Atlantic. Looking for partly cloudy skies here today with a high of 59. Good morning, I'm Rick Henson with KJAN News, brought to you by Robinson True Value Hardware, serving Southwest Iowa with the best hardware for over 70 years. Police in Shenandoah are asking the public to be on the lookout for a minivan that was reported stolen overnight from the parking lot of the Windsor Manor at 601 Harrison Street in Shenandoah. According to reports, the vehicle's owner had just finished her shift at the assisted living facility and went to get in her van early this morning, but discovered it was missing. She said her keys had been left in the vehicle, which was described as being a 2001 red Pontiac Montana minivan with Iowa license plate 955ZNK. If you see that vehicle, you're asked to call the Shenandoah Police Department at 246-3512 or your local authorities. News time is 8:02.
Shop Robinson's True Value Hardware, your oldest downtown hardware store in Atlantic. They've been providing the same dependable quality service and quality merchandise for over 70 years at the same location. So come down to Robinson's True Value for all of your hardware needs. They've got paint for any surface and hardware for any purpose. And for all of your shipping and packaging needs, they ship via UPS. That's Robinson True Value Hardware Store at 325 Chestnut in downtown Atlantic. Or give them a call at 243-4667.
The Clarinda Police Department reported yesterday two alcohol-related arrests took place over this past weekend. Officials say 19-year-old Samantha Ray Peterson of Shenandoah was arrested at around 1:20 a.m. Sunday for allegedly operating a motor vehicle while under the influence of alcohol in the 900 block of North 12th Street in Clarinda. Peterson was transported to the Page County Jail, where she later posted $1,000 bond and was released pending an appearance before the magistrate court. A passenger in the vehicle, 18-year-old Jennifer Ann McCoy of Shenandoah, was ticketed for possession of alcohol by persons under legal age. This past Saturday, October 27th, officers of the Clarinda PD arrested a 17-year-old female around 1:50 a.m. for allegedly operating a motor vehicle while under the influence of alcohol. The arrest occurred at the intersection of West State Street and the Highway 2 bypass. The teen was released to the custody of her parents pending action by the Page County Juvenile Court Services. A passenger in that vehicle, 18-year-old Shayla Elizabeth Notwer of Clarinda, was ticketed for possession of alcohol by persons under legal age. The Cass County Board of Supervisors Wednesday morning approved the hiring of two new employees. The action came during their meeting here in Atlantic. The board approved the hiring of Brandy Wittrock as a part-time driver's license examiner at the rate of $15 an hour. Wittrock, a Walnut High School graduate, lives in Atlantic with her husband and two daughters and will work in the county treasurer's office. The board also approved the hiring of Krista Wessling as a full-time legal administrative assistant for the Cass County Attorney's Office. That'll be effective November 5th at a rate of $15 an hour. The board yesterday also approved a request from the Cass County Historical Society, a nonprofit organization, for exemption from paying taxes on property at 410 Main Street in Griswold. The exemption is for the January 1st, 2012 valuation. Auditor Dale Sunderman explained in the motion placed before the board why the exemption was allowable.
Whereas the Cass County Historical Society is eligible for exemption from property taxation, and whereas they have filed and been granted exemption for future years beginning with January 1st, 2013, and whereas they were the owners of the land prior to July 1st, 2012, and whereas they did not receive title of the property until March 22nd, 2012, and weren't able to file for exemption by the February 1st, 2012 deadline, and whereas they filed for exemption April 11th, 2012, prior to July 1st, 2012, beginning of the fiscal year 2012-2013 tax year, entertain a motion to conclude that the application was as timely filed as reasonable, and that you consider that it's eligible, then order the auditor's office to mark said parcel as property tax exempt for January 1st, 2012 valuations.
Elsewhere in Western Iowa news, a repurposed groundbreaking ceremony will be held today at two historic implement buildings in Council Bluffs. Habitat for Humanity Executive Director Gina Primmer says one of their buildings will become their ReStore.
The ReStore is essentially a retail outlet that sells new and used building materials, appliances, furniture, doors, windows, all kinds of things that you can repurpose if you're a do-it-yourselfer or landlords, homeowners, anybody who may need something for a do-it-yourself project. We will be selling new paint, tile, all kinds of things like that. And then we will also be moving our offices that we are outgrowing here to a new facility as well on that same site. Both are historic buildings, and we will be restoring them back to the beautiful 1880s brick walls, wood floors that they originally had.
The other building at 12th Avenue in South Main in Council Bluffs will become HFH's new office. And if all goes as planned, both buildings will be open by November of 2013.
We should be able to move in about a year from now. We still have a little bit of money to raise, so we are breaking ground on Thursday. We are doing some selective demolition right now to make sure that our engineers and the folks with the historic office in Des Moines can have a look at everything they need to look at, and we can get all of our fundraising done. We can get all of our architectural plans and specifications drawn up and our permit process done and everything through the city that we need to get through. Actual hard construction is scheduled to begin about the 1st of February, and occupancy September or so of next year, grand opening about this time of next year.
Authorities have released the name of a man who was found dead after an explosion and fire at an old service station in Smithland in western Iowa. Officials say 76-year-old Robert Jones of Smithland owned the building. He was found outside the station's office after the blast late Wednesday morning. Smithland Fire Chief Kurt Larson said the cause of the explosion remains under investigation. The state fire marshal's office is helping to investigate the fire which gutted the building. Smithland is in Woodbury County, located about 40 miles southeast of Sioux City. Authorities say an Iowa inmate who was listed as escaped from a Sioux City work release facility has been captured. The Iowa Corrections Department said Justin Miller was apprehended by U.S. Marshals and taken to the Woodbury County Jail Tuesday night. Miller had been sought since he didn't return to the facility as scheduled on October the 12th. He was transferred to work release in September and originally sentenced to a maximum of 15 years following an assault conviction or convictions in Woodbury County. Miller began his prison term in April of 2009. A former Morningside College employee who altered money orders to embezzle thousands of dollars has been sentenced to 10 months in prison. Larry Walters' attorney had asked for probation, saying that would allow him to continue working to pay restitution and was appropriate given his otherwise clean record. But U.S. District Judge Mark Bennett imposed the prison term Tuesday, ordering Walters to pay $7,200 in restitution to Morningside and $65,000 to its insurer. Walters had worked in Morningside's print shop where he had operated a postage meter machine used for college mailings. He admitted that he intentionally generated errant postage fees on envelopes and returned them to the post office for refunds, claiming they were mistakes. He then altered money orders by inserting his name as the payee and cashing them. And in what may be a sign of an improving state economy, Iowa officials say community college enrollment has dropped for the second year in a row. Des Moines Register reports that this fall's enrollment hit just over 100,500 students, a drop of 5% from a year ago. Last year's drop was less than 1%. The Department of Education says enrollment rose nearly 6% to peak at more than 106,000 students in 2010. It rose more than 14% in 2009. M.J. Dolan, executive director of the Iowa Association of Community College Trustees, says that when the economy improves, people that were going to school go back to work. And when the economy declines, people that come to the community colleges to hone their skills. And a monthly economic index report suggests an economic slump over the next 3 to 6 months for 9 Midwestern and Plains states. The Mid-America Business Condition Index dropped to 46.5 last month from 50.4 in September. The survey of business leaders and supply managers uses a collection of indices ranging from 0 to 100. Any score above 50 suggests growth in the economy, while a score below 50 suggests decline for that factor. The overall index figure was 49.7 in August, 48.7 in July, and 57.2 in June. Creighton University economist Ernie Goss oversees the survey, and he says that growth in the regional economy is definitely moving lower. Taking a look at world headlines at this hour, Hoboken, New Jersey officials say they've received generators to help supply shelters, but they're running out of fuel to operate them. Power outages have forced many gas stations across New Jersey to close, and there are quarter-mile lines at the few that are still open. At least a quarter of Hoboken's residents are still flooded, and 90% are without electricity. Rescuers in New York City say they'll continue their search today for two young brothers who were ripped from their mother's arms by floodwaters caused by the superstorm. The 2- and 4-year-old boys disappeared Monday night when waves of water crashed into their SUV while their mother was driving through Staten Island. New York subway system is up and running above Manhattan's 34th Street. Below that, so the tunnels are still flooded. New York's mayor said three major airports are open again. LaGuardia opened today on a limited schedule. JFK and Newark's airports reopened yesterday. News time is 8:11.
Shop Robinson's True Value Hardware, your oldest downtown hardware store in Atlantic. They've been providing the same dependable quality service and quality merchandise for over 70 years at the same location. So come down to Robinson's True Value for all of your hardware needs. They've got paint for any surface and hardware for any purpose. And for all of your shipping and packaging needs, they ship via UPS. That's Robinson True Value Hardware Store at 325 Chestnut in downtown Atlantic. Or give them a call at 243-4667.
And the funeral announcements, Delmer Queck, age 86, of Fontenelle, died Monday at the Good Samaritan Society in Fontenelle. Funeral services for Delmer Queck will be held today at 11 o'clock at Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Fontenelle. Steen Funeral Home in Fontenelle has arrangements. Maxine Mickey Seibert, age 93, a lifelong resident of Atlantic, died Monday at the Heritage House. Funeral services for Mickey Seibert will be today at 11 o'clock at the First United Presbyterian Church in Atlantic. Roland Funeral Home in Atlantic has the arrangements. Anita Sophia Serby, age 72, of Coon Rapids, died Monday at Mercy Medical Center in Des Moines. Funeral services for Anita Serby will be held on Friday at 10 o'clock at the First Baptist Church in Guthrie Center. Twig Funeral Home in Guthrie Center has arrangements. Alice Blazik, age 65, of Fontenelle, died Monday at Mercy Medical Center in Des Moines. Memorial services for Alice Blazik will be Friday at 11 a.m. at the Steen Funeral Home in Fontenelle. Joyce Rocker, age 89, of Manning, died Sunday at the Manning Plaza Nursing Home. Funeral services for Joyce Rocker will be on Friday at 11 a.m. at the Odie Funeral Home in Manning. Phyllis Jean Olson, age 80, of Elkhorn and formerly of Atlantic, died Sunday at the Salem Lutheran Home in Elkhorn. Funeral services for Phyllis Olson will be on Friday at 1:30 at St. Paul's Lutheran Church in Atlantic. Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home of Atlantic has the arrangements. Zena Lyman, age 48, of Greenfield, died Friday at her home. Graveside memorial services for Zena Lyman will be held on Monday at 11 a.m. at the Fairview Cemetery in Rural Stewart. Steen Funeral Home in Greenfield has arrangements. Carol Lynham, age 87, of Indianola and formerly of Greenfield, died Monday at the Village in Indianola. Memorial services for Carolyn Lynham will be on November 10th at 2 p.m. at the Village in Indianola. Steen Funeral Home of Greenfield has arrangements. And Bernice Schroeder, age 91, of Manning, died Tuesday at her home. Funeral services for Bernice Schroeder are pending at the Odie Funeral Home in Manning. The news was brought to you by Robinson True Value Hardware, serving Southwest Iowa with the best hardware for over 70 years. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.